necessarily those of this station, but those of the sponsors, Armada Advisors.
Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Jake Walker. My guest this morning, Trevor Odom from Armada Advisors. Check him out online at armadaadvisors.com. Give him a call here in Pensacola, 850-497-6167. They've got that new location over on North E Street at 1800 North E Street. Trevor, how you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. A lot of questions to get to here. I'm just going to go ahead and start rolling with it. In the news here lately, of course, the tragic bridge collapse in Baltimore. You know, a lot of people now on the other side of it are thinking about the financial implications, because that is a very busy port. It's a very busy thoroughfare there, and lots of especially automobiles come through there. Is the stock market going to see any ramifications from this bridge collapse?
You know, it's funny that you ask that, because if you look back a few years ago during 2020, we had that big container ship that blocked the Suez Canal.
That's right, yeah.
Well, the Suez Canal is responsible for about 30% of the world's trade that goes through there, because otherwise you have to go around Africa. And so I lived in Europe at the time, and prices were skyrocketing because that's where a lot of the trade routes for supplies from the China and the Middle East went through. And so Baltimore, and compared to that, it's a small potato. I really don't think it's going to have any stock market impact per se, and even especially in Pensacola, I don't think we should really be worrying about it. Even when Skanksa took out our own bridge, it didn't really do too much damage to the local economy. It just frustrated a lot of people. Yeah. Now, people in Baltimore are going to see it, and people around that region are going to see it. Now, if it was a more major port such as Los Angeles or New York City or Miami, I'd be a little more concerned about it. But Baltimore, compared to all the other ports that we have, it's small potatoes, so I wouldn't really be worrying about it. Mm.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. If you have questions or comments this morning for Trevor from Armada Advisors, let us know. 437-1620. You can call or text and be a part of the show, and we will get your questions answered right here on the air. Yeah, that was just a tragic, just when
sure.
I watched the video of the barge, you know, the boat hitting the bridge, it's just like that perfect spot where they hit it, where it just collapsed like a toy. It was
kinda
just
like a
unbelievable.
Jenga tower.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. Very tragic, but it's good to know that it's not going to affect us that much financially. Interest rate cuts. We've been hearing about those in the news as well. I think they predicted there was going to be about 3 interest rate cuts from the Fed this year. So that had everybody just, you know, just praising and just having a good time. And the stock market has been definitely been showing an upswing from that. Is that will these cuts bring down prices, or this inflation, high prices, are they here to stay?
You know, the high prices that everybody's, when they think of high prices, most people think of, you know, going to the grocery store and they see, you know, chicken or steak or beef or pork, whatever, it costs, you know, so much more than it did 2020 or 2019. They blame the president or Congress, you know, whoever they feel like blaming at the time. But, you know, unfortunately, these high prices are here to stay. I think for a long time it's going to become somewhat the new normal. Will it go down with inflation? Sure, a little bit. But, you know, we've already priced in this. But what's really going to be affected, and it's going to be, you know, first-time homeowners, people buying other homes, buying automobiles. Because right now, there's people who are, even with great credit, I have a friend in Tampa who has an 850 credit score, and they're giving an 8-9% interest rate a year on their house. And that's huge. And so when these rate cuts are starting to go down, people are going to be able to borrow money at cheaper rates, and therefore we'll see savings in those aspects. And so their mortgage payments won't be as high, their car payments won't be as high. But, you know, for the people that bought right now, it's going to, they're still going to see it. And so I think you're going to see a lot of refinancing of larger loans, because people really just want to take advantage of the cheaper prices. And I mean, I know I will definitely on my car loan, mm-hmm. but I just would be very careful, be very wary about getting too optimistic about, you know, everyday items coming down in price, because it's already factored in minimum wage increases, this inflation. Right. We're still printing out a lot, large amount of money. And so I wouldn't be, you know, oh, it's going to decrease everything. And so that's why the market's kind of, it's optimistic, but it's now slowly coming back towards reality, I guess I would say.
Do you think we'll ever see it like it was there for that short time with those super low interest rates? I wish I would have been able to take advantage of it.
I wish I was too,
but
I think in the future one day, but it won't be for a long time, and it doesn't need to be, mm-hmm. because during that same period, the United States in 2020 alone printed 25% of all the money that's ever been printed in the United States since 1776 in 1 year.
Wow.
And so it's very wow. tricky, because it gives the people that move markets, and yes, you know, your local financial advisor, we don't move markets in terms of, you know, like the big guys at, you know, JP Morgan or hedge funds that are doing these huge trades. And so they're able to borrow, and they're the ones that you'll see that will take more advantage of it.
Mm, definitely. All right. Some economists are continuing to project a recession. I always hear that. Some people, it seems like they're always barking recession no matter what. Why do you think that is? And do you think there will be one?
You know, that. Yes, there will be one in the future for sure. I can't say without a doubt, oh, we're never going to have a recession in the next 100 years. It's kind of like asking, a client asked me the other day, he said, hey, can you guarantee that, you know, Fidelity, our main custodian, is going to have the same policy 30, 40 years from now? I'm like, no, I can't, because, you know, they're their own company. And so with the recessions, it's right now we're in a huge bull market, and we have been, you could argue, since really 2020, 2021, when the market, yes, we had a bear market in 2022, but even then it was still, the market wasn't showing signs of danger. And that's where all these recession people, and in my opinion, didn't show signs of danger. All the analysts said it was going to have a recession. Well, they were wrong. Hmm. People still kept on buying. And then you had this high interest rates, you've put money in the money markets. And so there's more money sitting in the market right now, even if it's just in cash, than there has been in decades. And so people were worried. They're still kind of worried. But right now we're at the state of, we don't think there's going to be a recession really, but what's going to happen? Is it going to be, you know, the presidential election? Is it going to be another war? We're at this weird holding pattern, and you're seeing a lot of, at least in our firm, a lot of clients are investing strategically instead of just buying at these highs, because it's almost painful to buy at these high prices, because you know at some point the market's going to go down, mm-hmm. and a client then is going to go, well, why did you lose so much money? And so it's, you have to be very careful and look for the gems, the diamonds in the rough.
Mm. And I take it, you know, from appearances, of course, I'm really not really good at this, but you seem pretty young. And I always ask your dad this, but I'm sure you've been in the game for quite some time. You seem very, very knowledgeable on these topics. So I'm going to ask you, like I ask him, as a financial advisor, with your experience, what worries you the most? What keeps you up at night about the market?
You know, but really what keeps me up in the night. So I've worked in Europe. I've worked in Italy. I was the head of U.S. investments for a $12 billion company over in Italy.
Wow.
And I came back to here because, you know, I love Pensacola.
Of course.
You know, what worried me over there and what worries me over here is the large amount of debt that we're putting into our economy, mm-hmm. from the national level to the local level, to state level, and even individually. I mean, Americans have more money on their credit cards than any point in American history.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, putting money on credit cards is a great way, you know, if you use it responsibly, but too much people are living off debt, and we're becoming an increasingly live off debt society. I mean, go to Walmart, and I went to Walmart just last week, and for the first time I saw, you know, would you like to pay for your groceries in installments?
Oh my
gosh. And so
gosh.
Is it going to be like that at McDonald's? Is it going to be like that at Wendy's? Or what's the future there? Because it that just shows we're going to a more debt-like society, and these people are going to start paying more and more in installments. And sometimes it's nice. You need to pay in installments.
Right.
Because not everybody has $20,000 for a car,
right.
$200,000 for a house. And so installments, when used correctly, can be done. But when you put too many things on payment plans and monthly installments, it really can take effect in your bank account and keep you on the perpetual debt cycle of high interest rates, paying off credit cards, and really hurting your credit debt, because you're never really paying off the credit card. You're just paying off the interest.
Carrying it, yeah. And your debt to income ratio is just always off.
Exactly.
What was that? Was it an app or something recently where everybody started using it And they basically were financing in installments everything that they bought on a daily basis. And then at the end of the month, it was really catching up to a lot of people. What exactly. was that? I can't remember
there's,
exactly
there's
what
the name
of that was.
There's a lot of them.
You
can do it on Amazon now through Affirm. It's Affirm is a publicly traded company.
Yeah.
You see several other ones. I can't remember all the names because it seems like there's 10 million of them.
Wow. That's dangerous. That is so dangerous because just like a debit card or a credit card, that physical pain of taking cash out of your wallet and paying something is not the same as just swiping a card and moving on about your day. So, I mean, just building all these up with these apps to me is just extremely dangerous because at the end of the month, it could really, you know, that the reckoning is coming.
Exactly, because you're spending more money than you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's several big purchases, oh, it's only $100 a month, $100 a month. Mm-hmm. I can afford, I still have a lot left in my paycheck. And next thing you know, all the other subscriptions that you have hit.
Right.
And so it's just very important to, if you don't have a financial planner or financial advisor, or at least at the very minimum, talk and budget with your spouse, with your family, just so that you're always financially able to cover emergencies and things like that instead of doing payment plans.
Right. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I am your host, Jake Walker. My guest this morning, Trevor Odom from Armada Advisors. Go online to armadaadvisors.com or just give them a call, 850-497-6167. Armada Advisors helping their clients navigate a better financial future through retirement. Let's talk on this briefly. I don't want to get too political, but our boy Trump, Donald J, has a public offering now, an IPO called DJT. Is that right?
I think that was the ticker.
Okay, is buying an IPO a good idea or is it risky? What are your thoughts on that?
First of all, it all depends on your risk tolerance. I mean, that's what I think sets us apart from other financial advisors is we will actually sit down with a client. We will say, hey, what's your risk tolerance? Are you more of an aggressive, a conservative, a moderate investor? And we just don't put them in a generic mutual fund or generic, like, you know, we're only going to do our products like Fidelity products, and that's all we're ever going to do. We actually will look into different types of stocks. We'll look into different funds, ETFs, to see what actually fits the risk profile. And IPOs are very risky in the sense that the majority IPOs are not sound financial companies. So when we look at a stock, we say, hey, what is their financials? What are their dividends? How many shares do they have? What's their book value? You know, all these small little factors. Are they making money? Or are they their revenue, you know, they're spending and all, they're not really having any earnings? Or are they losing money every year? And so with IPOs, you know, they have to release so much financial statements, you know, prior. Mm-hmm. And so, because every company keeps accounting, whether you're privately or publicly traded.
Right.
And so it's important to look at those accounting, especially if you're doing it yourself investor, because we're becoming, as a society, too emotionally focused on stocks. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's Donald Trump investing, so I like Donald Trump, so I'm going to vote in it. Or,
right.
You know, I like Joe Biden. I like what he's doing in this company, so I'm going to vote for it there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to almost like take a step back and look at it. And DJT, or I think it's like Donald J. Trump Entertainment or something.
Right.
I forget the name of it. I wouldn't recommend it because he was also big in this company called DWAC, Digital World Acquisition Corp. And it plummeted for a long time because it really had no good financials. Mm. Another one that we hear today is, especially some of our younger listeners might hear, is Reddit. Reddit's like an online forum similar, you know, post your opinion, people respond to it, etc. And, you know, people were allowed to get in at like $36 a share. Well, the price went public around $51, went up to like $64, $70, and now it came back down. It's dropped from $74 back to its initial price.
Mm.
And so it's important to differentiate what was the hype, what is the hype, is there any sound backing to it, will it affect my investment goals, and sure, like 1% of a portfolio is not going to hurt your portfolio, but like I caution people that come up to me and say, hey, I want to put, you know, 50, 75% of my portfolio in this one speculative stock because I think it's going to go to the moon, and so it's just always be careful. Mm.
Yes. If you have questions or comments this morning, don't wait until it's too late. This hour goes by quickly. 437-1620, talking to Trevor Odom from Armada Advisors. So talking about IPOs, what do you have a favorite stock right now?
You know, my favorite stock actually is, and it's becoming more and more prolific in the news. It's called CrowdStrike Holdings. CrowdStrike is a cybersecurity firm. And, you know, I'm sure we've heard of all the city of Pensacola cybersecurity problems and many other firms. There's also Palo Alto Networks. And the reason I think cybersecurity is AI is important. Yes, we're all seeing AI go crazy on the market today. But, you know, cyber is still there. Yeah. Everything we are doing is becoming on the cloud, on emails, on the phone. And, you know, every day we all get, you know, hey, this click this link, your UPS package isn't here. You click it and it downloads viruses onto your phone or computer. And so these companies, Palo Alto and CrowdStrike, they're doing a phenomenal job at protecting American companies and Americans from, you know, cyber threats, because nothing's more important than your personal data. You're keeping your social security, keeping your firm's data safe, because if it leaks, it not only can lead to lawsuits, but also potential huge financial ramifications. And so these companies are really doing a phenomenal job. And CrowdStrike, we got into it very early in the 100s range, and it's doubled in price for most of our clients. So we're very proud of that stock. We recognize this potential early, and that's what we do at Armada Advisor. We look for companies that are undervalued and see, will they grow over time, and do they actually bring value to the sector that they're in or the industry, and not just a one or done type of stock.
Right. Long-term plays are very important. All right. So you mentioned AI just a second ago. In the past couple of years, AI has been all over the news. Some are saying that AI could replace financial advisors as well as, mortgage brokers and real estate advisors as well. Do you think AI could replace financial advisors?
Believe it or not, AI already kind of has to a degree. It's an idea called robo-advising. And what this is, you know, you pay a very small fee to a financial advisory firm. It's not really a financial advisor, but sometimes a broker-dealer, such as like Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard. And, you know, this robot advisor analyzes and puts you in stocks or funds according to what your risk tolerance is. And so it's already there. But the problem that I see is that, you even hear from a lot of our clients, people are still very skeptical. AI is still very in its infancy. Yeah. ChatGPT is very limited in what it can actually put out. And so are a lot of these AI software. Now, I know we're seeing political ads and other stuff generated by, you know, AI, but it's still very limited. And they have to prompt the AI with so much stuff. AI doesn't have the brain that a human has. And also, AI is not able to connect with a human empathetically and emotionally. For example, you know, when people come to me, they want to see that I know that they have feelings. I know I have feelings. I have opinions. AI really doesn't have opinions. Here's the facts. Here's whatever. And, you know, I'm able to talk with my clients that an AI never could. And so you're building a trust in a human factor, which is an extremely important part of no matter what business, what you're doing, because you never know. AI could go rogue. I mean, I don't think it's going to go Skynet level like the Terminator and all that. But it's just the empathy and being able to talk to a human is so much more valuable than talking to a robot.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're talking to somebody and advising them face to face, just the way they may say something will change the way you react and the way you advise them, because they may be giving you a fact, but the way they actually say the fact, the emotion behind their voice, you can actually hear that, pick up on that, and actually steer a different direction. Whereas AI is, like you said, it's just going to go with the facts, what it's drawing off of. And the ChatGPT, it's very limited because it's just pulling from what's already on the net, right? There's no other.
And some people, I even did a test the other day, like analyze the XYZ stock, for example, on ChatGPT. And sure, it gave me like, you know, what the rate of returns, what their accounting was, all this facts. But I can do that myself from going on to Yahoo Finance or whatever. And then I'd say, well, what's your opinion? Should I buy or sell? It gave me a very neutral, like, you need to look at your financial goals and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So like AI is still not there. And robo-advising is still very risky in the grand scheme of things.
All right, we've just got a few moments here before we need to get to our bottom of the hour Fox News break. You talk about Fidelity a lot. I know you guys utilize Fidelity. What sets you guys apart from other financial advisors at Armada, and why do you guys rely so heavily on Fidelity?
Well, my father and myself has worked with a multitude of custodians. You know, I've worked with some internationally, such as Interactive Brokers. You know, we've also worked with Pershing, Schwab, Vanguard, and Fidelity. And we really think Fidelity, for number one, for us, is it's a little easier to navigate for both financial advisors and clients. And they also have one of the top tier like support teams. Whether you call in or not, you know that you're going to talk to an American. And yeah, it's nice feeling to not talk to somebody in India. And I'm not trying to be mean what I say, because I just want somebody to understand what I'm saying and answer my question.
Right.
And so, but Fidelity really has superior products. They've shown time and time again. Well, I know Vanguard is typically a retirement, but you know, I had to call Vanguard for some of my clients, and it's very, it's like I almost have to get escalated, because they put me through to a call center. And the call center doesn't really understand the question I'm trying to ask.
Exactly.
Fidelity, I've never had that issue as a financial advisor. Their mutual funds are almost some of the best in the world, and they offer continuous high rates of return and the fair rates for, you know, holding assets as a custodian. It's not, you know, they're not trying out there to scam people, and it goes proof every day, because from our start working with Fidelity back in 2009 to today, the times for, like, for example, if you have a problem with your account, you put it through a service request. Fidelity is getting so much business. The time on the service request is increasing because they're just opening that many new accounts, and more people are moving to Fidelity. Wow. And even more 401ks are moving from the traditional Vanguard to Fidelity, just because their interface system is so much more friendly to employers and clients alike.
Wow. That's good to know. Give them a call today. Armada Advisors, 850-497-6167. Go visit them at their new location down on E Street, 1800 North E Street. My guest this morning, Trevor Odom from Armada Advisors. Go to armadaadvisors.com. If you have any questions today, let us know. 437-1620. Join the show. When we come back after Fox News break, I want to dive in to a little bit about money markets and our 401ks and investing, which IRAs may be better, and then just some of the common mistakes that investors make, because I know there's plenty of them. Right off the top of your head, before we go to our break, what is probably the most common mistake you see investors make these days?
You know, taking money out of your retirement accounts early. And I
understand. Been there, done that. I'm ashamed.
I mean, we've all done it, but, you know, money needs to compound, and I understand everybody has their own financial situation. There's sometimes you have it, but it's taking money out and not replenishing it. And it's really like as simple as this. If you were 25 years of age and put about $100 into a Roth IRA or an investment account into just the S&P 500 and left and kept on doing that for the next, you know, 30, 40 years until you were 65, you would have an, assuming like 8% growth roughly, you would have around $300,000. That's a huge amount of money when you think about it. And it's like all that is just cutting out a few DoorDashes a month.
Right.
And driving to pick up your fast food instead of, you know, paying those insane delivery fees.
Exactly.
And so that's the thing, is taking money out and not putting money back in. I mean, I could go into a whole wealth of mistakes that I've done personally and also that I see a lot of people doing. But that I think that those two combined are some of the biggest, most common that I see.
Do you think that it's better for young people to go ahead and get into a job where they can get a 401k benefit? Or do you think, you know, kind of like me, I'm kind of on my own 1099 guy. Would an IRA be better? What grows better?
So they grow. It depends on the investments, number one, because when you go typically into a 401k, they give you three options. You know, are you conservative, moderate, or aggressive? And you pick one, you put your money in, your employer puts some money in. Now, an IRA, you can invest in stocks. You can even put crypto in the IRA now. Sure. And so you have a whole wealth of options. And the real key point is that I recommend to young people, especially, you know, at least put the minimum amount that in your 401k that your employer will match, or put the maximum. So if he's going to match 3%, well, you know, contribute 3% to get the full match. If he's going to match 5, put in 5 so you can get the full match.
Right.
Now, once you do that, then look into your IRA, max that out. And if you want, put money back in, more money deferred into your 401k, because that's tax deferred.
Right.
I'd rather not pay taxes, wouldn't you?
Yeah. On the end, when I want to take this money out, I don't want to have to pay taxes at that current tax rate. I'd rather just go ahead and get rid of it now and draw it tax-free. All right. So coming up on the break here, I've just got a couple moments. If you have any questions or comments, let us know. 437-1620. My guest this morning, Trevor Odom from ArmadaAdvisors.com. So you've traveled the world.
I have.
You've been around. You said in Paris or?
No, I've been to Paris when I was a child, forced to. No, but I lived in Italy for two years and I've lived in Germany for a year, and I've traveled to a lot of European countries and seen how the European financial system works compared to ours. And so it's just, there's a reason why the United States is the market of the world and Europe's not. And it's humbling to see that as how much power our markets have over the entire world.
What are some of the major differences that you see?
I mean, for one, you have the currency, obviously.
Right.
But number two, we just export so much more goods. And, you know, New York is the financial hub. London used to be, not so much anymore. But we're the ones who, you know, rebuilt Europe after the war. And so that's why we still have an influence over there.
Gotcha. All right. This is great stuff. Fascinating show today. Join us after the Fox News break. Don't go anywhere. I'll have more with Trevor Odom from Armada Advisors right after this.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Donald Trump back on the campaign trail to Michigan and Wisconsin, saying plenty to talk about after posting a $175 million bond to appeal his New York real estate fraud judgment. Independent presidential candidate RFK Jr. on Fox and Friends, now polling ahead of both Joe Biden and Donald Trump in favorability in the latest Fox News poll.
I don't look at myself as liberal or conservative. I feel like I'm common sense on issues.
Kennedy says he can make a case that Joe Biden is the greater threat to democracy because he's the first president to order media to censor political opponents. 37 hours after Biden took the oath of office, Kennedy's social media was targeted. Oil prices hit a five-month high today. The Dow was off over 500 points, with hopes fading that the Fed will cut interest rates in June. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 1031 at News Radio 92.3. A little bit of a dreary morning. 74 degrees and cloudy in Pensacola today. Well, a Pensacola man is now charged with the fatal shooting at the Sable Palm Mobile Home Park last January. 24-year-old DiCarlo Mitchell was arrested on Saturday on first-degree murder and robbery charges. That shooting happened January 7th. Deputies were called to that trailer park on Patricia Drive, where a victim was found with several gunshot wounds in the driver's seat of a pickup truck. Now, the victim ended up dying at the hospital. Investigators say they had recovered a rifle inside of a stolen vehicle that they believe DiCarlo Mitchell had fled from several weeks after that shooting. Deputies seized Mitchell's phone a few days later, learned he'd been in contact with the victim before the murder. And Mitchell now arrested on Saturday. He's in the Escambia County Jail, being held with no bond. Pensacola city leaders still not releasing a whole lot of information on that ransomware attack.
It's not a matter of wanting to withhold information. We want to give accurate information. That's our goal. And so I'd rather folks be a little impatient than us be inaccurate.
That is Mayor D.C. Reeves. And still no confirmation on whether personal information was compromised. But one new piece of information on that investigation, the FDLE says that the FBI is now opening an investigation into the incident. The city says their payment processing for Pensacola Energy and City Sanitation is still down as well. It's 10:33, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We will have some patchy fog as you go through the morning hours. Temperatures warming up quickly as you head into the afternoon, highs near 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms move in as you go into the evening hours. A few storms could be strong under a slight risk of severe weather. As you go into Wednesday morning, storms start to clear out. Going into Wednesday, temperatures will be starting to cool off with a nice northerly wind. Temperatures on Wednesday near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. And right now, 74 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 74 in Milton. Our next news at 11, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. John Stewart has announced that Apple asked him not to interview Federal Trade Commission Chair Lina Khan while hosting his Apple TV Plus show, The Problem with John Stewart. Stewart revealed the news while interviewing Lina on The Daily Show, which he returned to host in February. When Stewart asked why, Khan said it shows the danger of having so much decision-making power in such a small number of companies. General Motors is facing a second lawsuit over the collection of drivers' information without consent and sharing it with third parties, which subsequently led to auto insurers raising premiums. The driving data included accelerations, hard braking, and speeding. The lawsuit also alleges that GM's recent announcement that it would stop collecting driver data signals that GM knew it was illegally collecting customers' information and sharing it. Stocks are sharply lower. The Dow Industrials down 421. That's your money now.
Every year, Steve Faircal climbs the stairs of the John Hancock Center in Chicago, 94 floors to the top.
It's called the hustle up the Hancock.
It's hard to believe when you watch Steve today that a few years ago, his lungs were failing and he was fighting to survive.
For 8 hours a day, someone was pounding on my chest to try and keep my lungs clear. I honestly don't think I had more than a couple weeks to live.
That's when Steve received the gift of life, a double lung transplant made possible by an organ donor.
After I got my new lungs, I started doing things that I had never been able to do. I never knew that breathing could feel this good.
Steve climbs to honor his donor and to raise awareness for organ, eye, and tissue donation.
Wouldn't you like that when you left this beautiful planet, that you could save a few lives on your way out? It's an incredible gift.
Imagine what you could make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Jake Walker. My guest this morning, Trevor Odom from Armada Advisors. Go to armadaadvisors.com. Give them a call here in Pensacola, 850-497-6167. They just moved into a new location over at 1800 North E Street. Pay them a visit. Tell them that you heard about them on News Radio 92.3. Trevor, how you doing this morning, buddy? Thanks for being here.
Doing fine, thank you.
Yeah, you've traveled the world, you've seen a lot, and I'm excited to pick your brain here because there's just so many questions I have, and the economy, there's so many facets of it, so many fads that come and go. One thing that has always been really fascinating to me is Amazon and just the growth and how I thought one day I was like, I'll never shop online. I'll never, ordering groceries online seemed like just the craziest thing to me a few years ago. And now I'm ordering my groceries online. But now there's this new thing that might rival our Amazon here. And that's Temu or Temu. What is your opinion on this? What is this? And will it ever really truly rival Amazon?
So, it's good for our market to have competition. Mm-hmm. Growth economies, we all thrive on competition. I mean, look at sports teams. Each sports team tries to do better than the other right. one so they can win the Super Bowl or World Series or whatever. And so Temu is a Chinese company. It's very similar to Amazon. Most Americans had never really heard of Temu prior to COVID. And then COVID came around and, we're all locked down and everybody's doing online deliveries for literally everything, and Amazon's revenues went through the roof. Now, I mean, I don't think Amazon needs an introduction, and we all keep them in business because we all, buy from them on a daily basis. At least I know I do. Yeah. But because it's just cheaper than, going to buy, some of the same products at CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, Target, mm-hmm. whatever. Yep. And with Amazon Prime, you also get not only free delivery, but free video too.
Yeah.
And so it was worth its weight in gold, I say. But, Temu it's very interesting because, number one, right now we don't have the best relations with China politically and diplomatically. Mm. And Temu is almost like Americans don't care about the politics because they're buying into this Temu product so much. And what Temu is like a it's a Chinese Amazon, a delivery app. I know people called Alibaba the Chinese Amazon for a long time, but if you really look into Alibaba, they were like, you know, buy, you know, a huge crate of this to come into the United States, and then you can resell it at a price favorable to you. Mm-hmm. But Temu, you can buy things individually, so like coats, you know, pouches, you know, purses, pretty much anything you can buy on Amazon, you can probably find on Temu. And some of them are, in fact, the same products because they're all from China. The China is such a big, you know, import market into the United or export market into the United States, and we're importing huge amounts of things. But what sets Temu apart, and then what I think it has potentially the ability to rival unless it's regulated by the United States, is according to the BBC a few weeks ago, last year, Temu had an average of over around 155 million Americans using Temu. And now, is that figure accurate? I mean, I have my own questions about that because I know we were talking about that on the break.
Yeah.
It could have made like, every time somebody downloads an app or not, doesn't even buy things. But still, if that's true, that's huge. That's over almost 50% of the American population based on the last census. Mm. And so what makes Temu different than, you know, buying from Amazon or other Walmart, the same Chinese goods, is that Temu ships their products direct from the warehouse to the United States. It doesn't go in through any import company in the United States that then has to pay tariffs. So they're avoiding the tariffs in the United States. So therefore, they're able to keep their goods so incredibly low.
Very low.
And so that's very enticing to a lot of Americans. Mm-hmm. Now, does it open doors for, you know, cybersecurity problems? You can read that online, how some people find that, you know, their phones are being exploited because there's a way that people can exploit Temu apps or whatever. But the grand scheme of things is Americans want cheap stuff.
Right.
And people want to find ways to save money. And Temu is slowly starting to threaten Amazon's position. Now, people are, it's not like you're replacing Amazon because they don't have, you know, the perks that Amazon has of Amazon Video, Amazon Prime, free shipping. But it's really starting to slowly rival. And I have friends of all ages that are starting to buy exclusively from Temu and just not cut out Amazon. And so it's because they see the savings. Mm. But the real question is, and I've been seeing the news, is the United States going to regulate it because it's like it's regulating TikTok? Remains to be seen. I know there's human rights concerns in China about how they're producing these cheap products.
Right.
Shine is another company similar to Temu, but not as popular. Mm. And Temu is actually publicly traded just under the ticker called PDR and that's on the as ADR on the NASDAQ.
Hmm.
And so it's I still would be wary about investing in it from an investor standpoint because all it takes is a little war over Taiwan with China, and Chinese stocks could be very interesting. China's market is very still unstable, and so it's very risky. But it's they're making huge amounts of revenue, so it could be seen as a potential rival. Will it ever take over? It remains yet to be seen. But it's worth talking about because more and more Americans, apparently, you know, 155 million are using this app.
Right.
And using this website. Mm-hmm. I don't personally use it because I believe in American companies, but I'm still very well appraised, and I have multitude of friends and acquaintances that use this every single day.
Right. I'm definitely a big free market guy, and I'm not comfortable with us messing with competition, even if it is coming from somewhere like China. But like you said, the human rights abuses and just the questionable economy and can we trust the information coming out of China? All these questions, definitely, I would rather just buy American if I can. So I will stick with Amazon, you know, while it's there.
Me too.
All right. A lot of kids are probably switching to Temu and they're using all these Chinese apps and things like that. Talking about our children, getting more into the financial options for them, a lot of parents are struggling right now, and a lot of parents are raising their grandkids, and money is tight, inflation and all of that. So people are coming up short when it comes to providing for their children's financial success, especially going to college and things like that. What are some financial options that parents should consider to put their children on the road to success?
You know, it's always good to teach your child about money management because that skill will go with them the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
It's one of the few things that, I mean, there's a lot of things the school district doesn't teach, but, you know, schools across America do not teach, you know, how to pay your taxes, you know, what you should do, how to even write a check.
Yeah, how to balance a checkbook.
How to, you know, what's the difference between a debit and a credit card. Mm-hmm. And so teaching your kids, number one, the basics of finances is always recommended. But number two, if you want your kid to go to college, there's so many things that you can set up that are tax deferred and also can give you a tax break as well. They're called educational savings accounts, you know, custodial accounts, New York 529 plans. And what this allows you to do is invest in the stock market, especially in the 529 and ESA accounts. And invest in the stock market, you get the money's tax deferred. And as long as the money is used for children's education expenses, you can pull it out tax-free. And that includes tuition, books, right. You know, even sometimes dormitory purchases, depending. And so that's some of the options. But one of the options I strongly recommend, and it's honestly, I know a lot more parents and having a lot more clients that are having young kids ask what they can do to, you know, kind of help their children on the road to success, is open what's called a UTMA account. It's a custodial long, I'm not going to go into the long acronym because it's a long word and nobody okay. here will remember it.
Okay.
But long story short is it's a custodial account. The parent is the owner on the account, but can put money, take money from their grandparents, like, you know, whatever. Money goes into this account and it's treated just like your standard taxable investing account. You know, you have to pay taxes on it if anything's sold, but you know, and 18 years of age, your child can get access to this account. And it's a great way for kids, you know, to not know they've ever had money being saved up for them. Mm. And then next thing you know, hey, we love you a lot, you know, little Timmy or little Johnny or whatever, mm-hmm. and say, here's money for you on your 18th birthday. And it teaches them, hey, you can either take it all now if you want to, or make an investing account and learn how to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And so it's a great way to, you know, invest parents in their kids' financial success outside just a 529 account. Outside just college savings. And it's a really good idea because it lets your kids have some money mm-hmm. instead of just, you know, thinking that they're all working a high school job or as a waiter or whatever.
Right. Oh. Having that much money given to me all at once when I was 18, I probably just would have bought a Camaro. I probably would. With a new CD player, these new things called CDs that everybody's talking about. Yeah. Kids, especially these days, one of the biggest things that I see in these polling, some kids are more worried about climate change than they are nuclear war or, you know, anything in their lives. So that might affect their investments as they grow older. With the drive for climate change across the globe and for the awareness of that, is it natural that some people want to invest their money in what I'm just now looking up, the ESG investments, which is environmental... What is it? Environmental, social and governance. Do you think that people are going to start investing in that more? And what is your opinion on these kind of investments like green energy and things like that?
I mean, I think we should all want to take care of the planet. I mean, it's our home. Everybody lives here. You know, we breathe the same air. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important. It's important that companies, you know, try to be as sustainable as possible. However, there are some companies that are promoting this ESG agenda that climate, mm-hmm. we have to invest in things that will reduce climate change. And right. if you look at most of these companies that go that route, they're not really making a lot of money. And when you invest, you ideally want to invest to make money. And so it's a why invest if you're not making any money or losing money. And so your ESG, it's very hard to find a good company that is ESG or a good fund or stock that is ESG related. And so I really think that, you know, clients should stay wary of them and remember why they invested in the first place before they just decide to commit. And here's a little known fact. So every year, you know, when you own a stock of a company and they send out these things called proxy votes, and that allows, you know, every single person who owns a share of Amazon or whatever to vote on a policy of the company that the shareholders vote on, the board of directors. And all these little proxy votes, they have recommendations like for this policy, against, or no opinion, et cetera. Mm. Most of these companies and the against column, like we recommend that the shareholders vote against, is a report on climate change risk, against report on lobbying. So all this stuff that we want to see, you know, we want to invest in companies that are environmentally friendly, that don't lobby or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The companies themselves are saying one thing on social media that, hey, we're all environmentally friendly. But in all these shareholder reports and shareholder, you know, votes, they're saying, hey, vote against us. We don't want to give a report on our ESG operations.
Wow.
And so it's just, it's very a double-edged, like they're playing both sides, kind of like a double agent, like in mm-hmm. the spy movies.
Yeah.
They're playing both sides of the coin quite effectively. And I think it's very important for every investor, you know, if they, especially when they want to invest in these ESG companies, talk to your financial advisor. If you really want to do it, that's awesome. And, you know, your financial advisor will sit down and find some that work for you and meet your investing goals. And mm-hmm. so it's just, but don't go off and just only do this, because I think your average investor will find themselves surprised at how little they're actually making if they go full ESG investing.
Right. Yeah, because a lot of that's still just being sussed out. We're just trying to find better ways to do things. And sometimes it's not always great to jump on that bandwagon just because, you know, it in theory, it could be good for the environment, you know. My guest this morning, Trevor Odom from Armada Advisors. Go to armadaadvisors.com or just give him a call, 850-497-6167. If you have questions or comments, let us know. You can join the show by calling or texting 437-1620. Talking about the interest rates earlier, if we don't get these drops from the Fed this year, say our interest rates stay really high, do you see that affecting bank failures? We had a bunch of, you know, we had that time when, you know, these banks are too big to fail, and then, you know, we got shocked when they did. Do you see any more bank failures on the horizon, or are we past that point in our history?
Well, I every American's concerned because we think, you know, Great Depression, you know, banks started failing rapidly. Mm-hmm. And the banks that have been failing, First Republic, SVB in the past years, they invested in very risky investments that they couldn't pay interest back on the loans because they went sky high. Mm-hmm. And so the banks that were failing are not these national banks. They were bailed out by the government, you know, some of them. And so the banks, I wouldn't be really too worried about it, because if you're a good bank, you should ideally have a good risk management team, a good financial investment banker team that, you know, you're mitigating all these risks and always planning for the possibility of what if they go higher or stay this way. Mm. The only time I personally will be concerned, and I think a lot of Americans feel this way, is if the huge banks start to fail, like Wells Fargo,
right,
Deutsche Bank, mm-hmm, you know, JP Morgan, Citigroup. If those start affecting and start to go under, that is a serious problem that, you know, that we need to address as a country and from a fiscal level related. And so until those really happen, I don't think we really need to be worried. There's a lot of bad banks out there. And so I suggest, you know, all people, like when they say, hey, which bank should I bank with? I'm like, one that you know is not going to go out of business. And the same thing can go with investing. Mm-hmm. You want to invest in companies that are going to grow and not have a risk for going out of business. Now, mm-hmm, it's okay to be speculative every now and then, sure. But it's never risk more than you're willing to lose. Mm-hmm. And the same thing goes in a bank. Don't put your money in a bank that has problems.
And real quick, what is the difference between a money market and a bond and the bond market? What is the difference between bonds and money market?
So a money market is liquid cash. Think of it like, you know, going to a bank, putting money in a CD and saying, hey, I'm going to get a guaranteed 5%. Now, money markets, they're guaranteed to the extent that they're guaranteed. They still can lose money, especially if you invest on a crypto platform called a euro coin or dollar coin, because they advertise that as somewhat of a money market, but it's really not. Money markets are one of the least risky forms of investing, similar to a CD, but there's still a little risk that it could decrease, but it's very, very, very rare. Mm. Most investors put in there because it's so liquid. It's not like a CD. If with a CD, you have like a term, 3, 6 months, 1 year, and so you get 4.9%. Mm-hmm. And a money market, you can get 4.9% a year, but you can pull it out anytime. And there's no penalty for me pulling out of money out of a money market. So it's a great way to, like, if you're going to buy a house, for example, in the near future, it's great to put money in a money market so you can pull it out when you need it and still get some interest. Mm-hmm. Now, bonds are a debt instrument issued by a company to, you know, get investors, theoretically. And so, but they say, hey, you give us $1,000 for a bond, we're going to pay you a coupon and interest, as I would say, hey, thank you for using your money. And then at a fixed date and time, you're going to get your money back. And there's different ways how they're graded. And typically you want to invest in investment grade bonds, because junk bonds aren't necessarily worth it. Not always. Sometimes they are to people who have success because they pay higher rates of interest and coupons. But a bond is completely different. Just know that the main difference is one is very fixed. It's a debt instrument, and a money market's more of a liquid investment. Yes, you can sell bonds, but it gets more complicated. And I don't want to – if you're more interested, give me a call at Armada, and I'll be happy to go into more of the differences about bonds and mutual funds.
Right. And bonds have been very popular in the past couple of years because of those high rates of return. Do you see that continuing to be a viable investment?
Yes and no. It depends on, first of all, you as an investor. How much, what's your investment goals? What do you want to do? bonds in the past year have, with rising interest rates, they were very popular because the stock market was very low. The stock market was having problems and bonds were continuing to go up because of interest rates were going up. And so that was very good back then. Now they're still good, but for short term, right now we're really only buying bonds with a short term duration, like a few months long to no more than 2 or 3 years. Because if once interest rates decrease, bond yields will decrease as well. And so it's just being very careful. And especially if you're young, it's not recommended to go into a conservative or a bond portfolio because you have a long period of time in the market. You need your money to grow. Mm. But bonds definitely do have their place, and you know they're different for every investor. So don't just go with the 60-40 or because my parents did this or my friends did that. You know, talk to somebody. Call a financial advisor.
Right.
Get some input before you start making decisions that could affect how much money you're actually going to make.
What's confusing for me, not being an investment professional such as yourself, is just the way everything's connected. Like you said, the bond market is really connected to the interest rates and everything affects everything else. And then there's things, like the war in Israel and things around the globe that just affect everything. So you have to kind of keep your eyes all over the globe all the time. So that's just what's so impressive about what you guys do. Go to ArmadaAdvisors.com or give them a call, 497-6167. My guest this morning has been Trevor Odom. You've traveled the world. You've seen lots of different aspects and scenarios going on around the world. Talking real quick about some of the possible war implications. I've always heard, we do well financially when we're involved in war. What do you think if we get dragged into another war in the Middle East, whether in Israel or Yemen, do you think our markets will be heavily affected by that? Do you think that'll be like a great resurgence that'll pull us out maybe of our deficit a little bit? How does that work?
I mean, you have to look at history in this in a way, because people, and I was taught in high school that, World War II brought us out of the Great Depression. And arguably that's true, because when you have a huge war, especially if the country rallies behind it, every civilian company is making something for the war effort, like GM, Ford, they all made trucks for our troops overseas in World War II. And President Trump, when we had COVID, he ordered these companies to, instead of making cars, to make ventilators. And so that could happen again, but God willing, we never get into another war again. I truly pray for peace every day, but war is lucrative. Unfortunately, there always will be bad guys. There always will be people who want to try to strong arm their will. And so, do I think markets will be affected? Of course they are, especially if we're directly involved. But whether it will remain over time, I think it will be positive, because at the end of the day, look at World War II, and Warren Buffett, I think, truly said it best. He bought his first stock in 1942 around the Battle of Midway, which we won. Wow. And since then, the stock market has continued to go up. And his moral of the story is, never bet against America. And sure, we all have our disagreements. We all have problems that, but at the end of the day, we're Americans, and Americans are resilient. Americans grow, and we fight for things that we hold dear.
Amen.
And so, seeing the American economy, if you just type in a graph of the American Dow Jones from, 1942 till today, it's just gone up. And we've had, the Cold War, threats of nuclear Armageddon, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the list go on. So will the markets be affected? Sure, in the short term.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, as long as we remember who we are as a country and why we fight, if there's ever a war, and God willing, there never will be, the market's going to continue to grow. And that's why I continue to invest, because I believe in America. Our clients believe in America. And, it's always okay to be worried. We're always going to be worried. At the end of the day, as long as you're smart, and if you have a hot financial advisor, hint, you'll be able to navigate. And that's why our slogan at Armada Advisors is charting a better course, because that's what we try to do. We try to navigate our clients through the tumultuous waters of investing, through world politics, and to get you where you need to go, to reach your financial destination, to get your report safely.
Mm. Well said. Very well said. Real quick, while we just have a moment here left, locally here in our economy here in Pensacola, Very few houses being sold right now. It's kind of slow. Is that just because the interest rates are still so high? Why is the real estate market so stagnant right now?
So you have interest rates still very high. You know, it's a lot of money that people are investing, or that are a lot of interest rates that are very high. And so with this interest rates being high, a lot of people don't want to necessarily buy.
Right.
And so therefore, houses are sitting on the market. People are having to lower their values. It's just becoming very stagnant. And it'll remain what to be seen what's going to happen. But Pensacola is a growing city. We're always going to have people coming in. So once interest rates go down, I really think we're going to see a resurgence in the housing market.
All right. Trevor Odom, thank you so much.
ArmadaAdvisors.com. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.